You're listening to the Just One Outdoors Podcast.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the podcast. Today, it's Cam and I recapping our rutcation. As you saw last week, we did not have an episode because Cam and I were too busy to record. Cam was too busy to record.
Yeah.
I could have made time.
Austin had plenty of time. It's one of the few times in the past, hunting-wise, where you've been sleeping in and I've been out hunting.
I know. You put in the work this past week, and I thought I was going to have to, but plans quickly changed, as probably most of you saw on our Instagram.
Yeah.
How do we want to go through the rutcation? Do you want to start and just tell us about your week, and then I can tell you about my morning?
Yeah, I'm going to have a lot more to say than you will. I don't know. In my mind, maybe it makes more sense to start with you. A little more chronological.
Yeah, but then if we save the good story for the end, people have to listen to the entire episode.
Yeah.
Or they can just fast forward on the episode to like the 30-minute mark and be like, I don't care about any of Cam's hunt.
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
no, I can start.
I mean, my whole week isn't really going to be that much longer than your story.
Well, at least you can tell us about what you saw and stuff. But I guess we'll just start opening morning. We all head out, and it was kind of a crazy sequence of events that transpired opening morning. Madison and I walked in before everyone else really got there. I think we saw your headlights as we were walking back, and we kind of took a different route. We got down to the creek, dipped in a little bit further, and kind of walked up that drainage, like we had talked about at deer camp, but that was probably the hardest walk-in I think we've ever had. I'm tripping over rocks. I'm running into thorns, all with Madison behind me. And as we were walking out, we're standing in my grandparents' backyard, and I pull up our tactic cams, just like, all right, what's out there? What's moving? And we just have this massive 8-point right beside the red pond. And Madison and I are walking that way, and it's like, we have to walk this way. We can't avoid walking this way. And I'm pretty sure we bumped that deer, that big buck, because it was at the red pond 15 minutes before we walked back. And I'm pretty sure we bumped it back to the back as we walked in. I think he was probably on Dave's place. Bill's old place. Because we heard one run back. But anyways, we took a different route. Tripping, falling, running into sticks, which I don't know if it's just this year, but this year more than ever, walking in, I've had invisible sticks just like poke my eyes and stuff.
Yeah.
And I've been like, where the crap are these coming from? And that's just a random side note that's really driving me crazy this hunting season. But we get to the Taj. I set up a little decoy. Mads gets in the Taj, and we're trying to be quiet. But you can only be so quiet setting up a decoy and getting into the Taj. And we get all set up, and, I mean, we saw nothing for the first 2.5 hours. I mean, we were just sitting there like, are we going to see deer? And what really made everything, like, what made it worse was in every direction there were shots. Mm-hmm. And they were close. But we were not seeing anything. It's like, where the heck are the deer that these people are shooting at? Like, all our neighbors were shooting and everything. And finally, one of my tacticams goes off. And I get the notification somehow back there. And it shows a spike buck coming. So I'm like, all right, here comes a spike buck. It comes in. And it's limping. And keeps looking back like it just got beat up. And I'm like, okay, that could be promising. And next thing I know, Madison's going, big deer, big deer, big deer. And I'm like, okay. And I like get my gun ready. Well, this is the first of two times she did it that day, by the way. It turned out to be two does, two small does that were standing so close that she thought it was one big deer. But they go running. Obviously, the obviously the buck was after these two does, the spike buck. But he got whooped up on by, it was like a small seven, like he, probably a year and a half old deer that just had a decent rack. And this is the second time it steps out of mass and goes, big deer, big buck. And I'm like, okay, sweet. I get the gun up in the window. I'm prepared to shoot. And then I see it. I'm like, that sucks. I was like, I was really hoping for, you know, the Muy Grande to come in.
Yep.
But anyways, they kind of do their thing. They end up leaving. And it's like 9:30 and I've rode off the hunt. I'm just like, we haven't shot yet. Shots have died down around us. I kick my feet up on the window of the Taj and I'm just lounged, like about to make breakfast for us. And this is the second time this year I'm just realizing that I'm about to make breakfast and I've killed something. I need to make breakfast more often in the stand. And for those who keep up with our podcast, I was wearing my blue underwear, so you know where this story's going. but anyways, I just see this rack move in between my feet real quick, and I'm like, oh, crap. And I grab my gun, and instantly it's like, it's one of those that I didn't have to identify the buck. Like, I was like, I'm shooting this one. It's big enough, I'm shooting. And I get up, get my scope up, and I'm trying to find it, and I cannot find it anywhere. I let out a snort wheeze and stopped it. And I'm like, perfect. He stopped. I'm looking through my scope. I can't find this deer. I'm like, this is a big deer. How am I not finding it? And somehow, by the grace of God, I finally find it. As it must have seen me moving around in the Taj or something, because it instantly just turned back to the way it was coming and starts to head back that way quick. And I just kind of swing like you do duck hunting to lead it, get on its front shoulder, then I get a little bit in front of it, and I just squeeze one off. And I was like, this deer's big enough that I have to throw something. And, it worked out great. I mean, it really did, because I shot, and the buck just dropped. And it dropped, did its little kick, like, you know, how they do after you shoot them with a gun, especially. And I thought it was down. Well, needless to say, it was not down, because all of a sudden Mads and I are celebrating and its head pops up. And I'm like, what the heck? So Madison gets the camera and is like recording it. And I'm just like, I'm going to have to shoot this thing again. So I get on it. I squeeze off another one. And I don't know if it was just how he was laying or something, but his leg literally blocked the shot. Like, his leg was right in front of his, like, lungs. And in the video, you see his leg just get hit. And I'm just like, great, I'm making this deer suffer. Luckily, it was down. I knew it was there. You know, it wasn't going anywhere. It was paralyzed. So I went up and actually had to shoot it with my pistol, which really sucked, because that's obviously not how you want to do it. For those who are wondering, I ended up hitting it just above the hip. I hit the spine, which that just shows you how fast it was moving, because I led him by probably 6 inches off of his front shoulder, and he was hauling it. And I had sighted in my rifle a week earlier and knew it was dead on. So that kind of sucked, but it was really cool getting to walk up on that. And, you know, when I walked up on it and looked at it, it was just like gray face. Base of its tine or of its antlers were just huge. I think it's definitely bigger than my Illinois deer. I think it was like 5.5 inches, I want to say. Mm-hmm. Scored it, and it was about a 120. It had broken off a brow tine, probably would have been 125 ish, I would guess. But
yeah,
it was a cool morning for that to happen, because, you know, then you and Ash were literally in the stand just in front of us.
Yeah.
Probably 400, 500 yards, and we're able to come back. And then a little bit later, my dad was able to tag a buck, which we'll get more into that in probably an episode or two.
we'll let Ash.
Yeah.
Get on that.
We won't spoil too much, but so.
Yeah.
That's kind of the story of my buck. And instantly, you know, I shot it. And I say this not in a regretful way, because I am glad I took the shot. Don't get me wrong. But it's like, I looked at Madison after I saw him down on the ground and I just went, well, there goes my season. Because yeah. It was like, filled my buck tag, tagged out, which is the first time I've done that in Missouri, which is cool. But it's also like, man, November 11th, and you know, I still have till January 15th to hunt. But,
yep.
Yeah. So it was kind of one of those bittersweet things, you know, just like shooting the first buck before, like way before, like in September, it was like, well, there goes my season till rifle.
Right. So, you've cut your season short a couple of times, especially the last 2 years.
But I'm glad I've done it. It's been
worth it. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it was cool for Ash and I to be out there for it, and we were close. So we were hearing the shots and heard a couple more than we thought we would, but
more than I thought I would,
but ended up with a deer on the ground. And I think the cool part about it was we'd seen that deer on camera a couple times, but he's by far one of the biggest, like in the top three for sure, probably top two out of any buck that we had out there all season. So it's cool that we got him and not one of the neighbors. Cause like you said, there were shots going off everywhere. Mm-hmm. And that's such a sinking feeling when you're not, one, not seeing deer, but two, not hunting, you know, a big block of woods. You're like, they probably just took a deer that I could have shot. They probably just took a deer I could have shot, you know.
You know they're taking deer that you've seen on your cameras, yeah. Which is the hard part because you don't know which deer it is either.
Right.
So you're like, did they just shoot Rufus or did they just shoot a doe?
Right.
Or, heck, could have they been shooting a coyote or something? Like,
yeah.
That's the hardest part is, like, you know that they've shot. And I think the most encouraging part, though, is every time you hear a shot around us, you usually hear two or three more. I'm pretty sure one guy shot like five times.
It's crazy. But, you know, thinking about the farm, between the three of you guys, we averaged three shots
right.
a deer.
Like, oh, yeah.
It's a common thing, which is really funny. It's, I don't know why it is that way.
I don't know.
I honestly think it can be easier to miss with a rifle because I think most people don't actually shoot their rifles very much. So one, you don't know how well it's sighted in. And two, like I'm not super comfortable with my rifle. I've only shot it a couple times ever. I know it's on, but it's so easy to like pick your head up a little bit or just jerk it just slightly and not feel comfortable with it and miss. And I think a lot of people do that. Mm-hmm. So.
I think you're right. I think a lot. There's truth to the Orange Army.
Yeah. But the amazing part is you don't need, I mean, most of the time on deer, you're getting more than one shot. Mm-hmm. Like yours, probably not since it was hightailing it. But like Ash's doe, I mean, I won't spoil the story, but I've had deer in the past. I've shot, missed, and they just stand there because they have no idea what the heck just happened.
Yeah.
And then, okay, I'll calm down a little bit, put it back on, and it's a done deal.
So. Yeah. Yeah. It was quite the morning. It was pretty cool just being able to share that. My grandpa came out. My grandma came out.
Heck yeah.
Got to take some cool pictures with the Taj in the background, which that's another thing is the Taj has not been what we expected it to be.
Right.
You know, like the food plot hasn't quite come in the way we expected. It's been good to us. Don't get me wrong. We've killed a lot of deer out of it, but it's also like, okay, I kind of built this with the expectation to have the food plot and have the big bucks coming in. So for that all to come together, was really cool too, because like you said, he's one of the biggest. I really want to see how he compares to the 10 point.
Yeah.
I think he's older. I think he's the oldest deer we had.
I think he's probably a year older.
Mm-hmm. But the 10-point, like, score-wise, I'm wondering kind of how they compare. Because the 10-point, and I don't know if you've noticed this, in some pictures he looks like just a freaking tank.
Yeah.
And then in others he looks like he's a smaller 10-point.
Yeah. I think back to that picture where he's kind of walking away from my camera.
Mm.
Like, man, that's a big deer. But I don't think he's really bigger than the one that you shot.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think his antlers are as thick as yours are. So
no, I definitely think he's probably a year, maybe two. I don't, I mean, I want to get my buck scored or not scored, aged.
Yeah.
To see how old he really was.
Just to see, because we don't have a good gauge on how old deer are.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easy to look at, you know, a 6-pointer, maybe a small eight, and be like, that's 2 years old or whatever. But when they get up there in age, I have no idea how to tell the difference between a 4 or 5 year old.
Right.
So it was cool. Ash and I, we only saw two really small fawns that morning. They came to like 20 yards, came down to the pond. It was a cool thing though, because like I saw them pretty far away, like they were pretty obscure. Mm-hmm. And that's why I love hunting this time of year, is when the leaves are gone, you can spot deer really far away.
Yep.
It makes you wonder how many you miss though.
Right.
You're like, I just barely saw that. But how many have I just barely missed?
Mm-hmm.
But we saw them up on the hill and then they kind of came down. I lost them and then Ash saw them again. That's one thing with her hunting more this year that she's gotten a lot better at is finding deer. Mm-hmm. Like there've been a lot of times where she finds them before me, which is kind of cool. And she has a lot of fun doing it too. Yeah. She's like, there's a deer there. And I'm like, I don't see anything. And then they kind of came out. And I just wish that they were bigger, because she would have drilled them. It would have been awesome.
Been so close and had 3 deer down opening day. That would have been cool.
Yeah. But she got to see deer. And I think she was happy to be out there for you. Maybe, mm-hmm. maybe not your dad, but for you.
Yeah, that was a really special moment. Just to have everyone there, it was like, and to be able to like lift that deer up and be like, because that's by far the oldest deer and probably biggest deer we've taken on the farm. And it was just kind of cool to be like, all right, this is kind of what we want to get to. Yeah. And I think we have unintentionally and then intentionally, like we've talked about before, done the right things to create opportunities. I mean, like you and I have talked about many times, we still have 3 or 4 shooters out there.
Yeah, we do. The hardest part about hunting out there is the part that we can't control, which is everyone else. Mm-hmm. And that just kind of is what it is. But, you know, I feel like we've done a lot better and it's been interesting, like you brought up, to look back at the patterning and to realize how much the deer love the Taj and the food plot early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
But when the acorns start falling, they just disappeared. Mm-hmm. Like they don't come out there anymore. Their pattern completely changed and they're moving in the middle of the field for whatever reason. It's just, it's weird, but it's something that we need to remember for next year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, it's one thing we say not every episode, but a lot of our episodes is every time you go out, make sure you learn something.
Yep.
And I think every year, I think it's Drury Outdoors who said, like, you need 5 years at least on a farm to know the farm. And I feel like we're just getting to the point on year 6 or 7 of really learning the farm as deer hunters and going, I can put myself in the position to kill a big buck every time I go out there. And, you know, this week you did just about everything you could. And it seemed like a lot of our bucks, and I think it was more so the weather than anything, transitioned back into more of a nocturnal.
Yeah, type. The weather sucked. It was horrible.
It was like 60, 70 degrees.
The worst part about it was, I mean, maybe not the worst part, but I took off all week with the intention of sitting all day because it's the rut. You never know what might happen.
Mm-hmm.
And this week, ironically enough, is like overcast, misty, rainy, high of 50 degrees, 45 tomorrow, like perfect hunt all day weather.
Right.
Last week, it was sunny every day, not a cloud in the sky, and got up to 70 degrees every day. It's like by 10 o'clock, I hadn't seen anything for an hour. I'm like, okay, I'll sit out here till 11 or 12. Of course, I didn't see anything at that point. I'm like, I'm going in for a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's the right, anything is possible. You could see anything, but I'm like, with how hot it is and how sunny it is too, I'm going in. I'm going to eat some pancakes. Yep.
And we witnessed at some other places, deer just bed down and stay all day, middle of the rut, because it was so hot.
Yeah.
Like Clyde and I left deer and then Brian was like, hey, I'm going to go down to that spot. And I was like, well, this is where we left him. And that's where he picked him up at. He's like, I found him there and got set up and he almost had an opportunity.
Yeah.
It was like, they started moving when it started getting cooler.
And it was weird weather too, because there were days where in the morning it was really cold, like 30 degrees, like opening morning was like low 30s and then it got up to 70. there was like a 40 degree temperature change.
Yeah.
During the day. It's like, what are the deer going to do? I have no idea, but they're not going to be out here walking around when it's, right. when their skin is getting sunburnt. I mean, I don't blame them. They're going to lay down somewhere. And so my week was, it was eventful because I never got skunked. So that was, I guess, a good thing. I never went out and sat and didn't see anything.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I just saw a lot of spike bucks, had 4 6-pointers almost every hunt, saw does. But, you know, especially early on, I didn't really want to shoot a doe and was kind of waiting for a buck. And so I saw bucks, but just nothing mature enough to shoot at the farm. You know, I went a couple other places and...
And just, even still had, like, the other places that you went were mostly public land.
Right.
And even still at those places, the bucks weren't, like... Like we've talked about, we have different standards for public land.
We do, yeah.
Like we'll take some smaller deer.
For sure.
And even the deer that you saw were like, I'm not going to shoot that. That's like a fawn with antlers.
Right. And it was hard too because, you know, I'm taking off all week. So, and at that time I thought that I had all of archery season, which come to find out I don't, because I kind of goofed up with permits. So maybe that would have changed my mindset a little bit the last day or two. But even then, early in the week, I'm thinking, I've got 2 months left. I can't shoot a 4-point. I can't right. shoot a 5-point. Like, I just can't do that. I love hunting so much. I'm going to be out here hunting when it's 25 degrees and it's 1st of January. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I don't regret doing that, being picky, you know. Who knows, next year maybe it pays off a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that we talked about, I feel like I put in the work and put in as much work as I could and it just didn't come together. So I could leave this week feeling like, okay, I had time off work. I got to enjoy it, got to sit out in the woods with you, with Ash, with Matt, got to go hunt with one of my other brother-in-laws I don't really get to hunt with much. And we went to a new spot and kind of just scouted around, found some deer. It was a really cool spot I'd never been to before on public. And so there were aspects of the week that were a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
But waking up at 4:30 for like 9 days straight was by the last day, I was like, I don't know if I can do it. I don't want to do it, but I ended up making it out and I did shoot a doe. So
yeah.
And I shot a doe with my bow too. So funny story about that is I was sitting a public land spot, and this spot, you wouldn't really feel comfortable bringing a rifle there. There are houses and other expensive pieces of entertainment, we'll say. We'll leave it as vague as possible. Anyway, it's a public land spot, and I'd been sitting for, I don't know, not very long, 30 minutes or so, and then all of a sudden, there were just deer, like, within 30 yards walking past me. I'm like, oh, I better sit really still. And just one after another. And about half the group went through this thicket. And then the other half, of course, the more mature ones, like, they stalled up about 20 yards from me and were just staring at me. I was like, how did they see me? I didn't even move. And they were downwind of me, or they were upwind of me. And so they're kind of looking at me, stomping. They'd blow, but not like a serious blow, like, just a 101, and then they take two or three.
You
want
to give a demonstration?
I was about to, and I was going to get who knows what all over this microphone. So you could probably see it on my face. I was getting ready to do it, but they would do a little blow, and then they would take like two or three quick steps, but they weren't running off. Like, they knew something was up, but they didn't have any idea that what was going on, because I wasn't moving at all, and they couldn't smell me either, which I knew. And they started trying to work around my right shoulder and trying to get downwind of me. I'm like, oh, they're going to freaking screw me. And like, they get parallel with me. They're not downwind yet. And they just didn't like it enough. So they turned, and then they're coming back around in front of me. And this is all at like 15, 20 yards. One of them got to like 10 yards. I'm just sitting there dead still and they can't smell me. So they kind of are weary, but they kind of work around in front of me, and this takes like 10 or 15 minutes. Oh, like, gosh. This is going on. And all the while I'm like, oh man, why is there not a single buck in this group. And also, if there was a buck, how am I going to shoot it with all eight of these does staring at me? This is not going to be a good situation. I'm going to have this giant buck come in and I'm not going to be able to draw because I'm literally surrounded by does. So they work in front of me, work around to my other shoulder, and there's like a thicket, but it's not as thick. It's just really thorny. And so half the group is, you know, a little bit more even with me, and then the other half is sort of starting to work downwind of me. I'm like, they're going to catch my wind for sure. And still stomping, blowing. So I couldn't remember if I had an antlerless tag or not. I was like, I'm sure I bought one, but I better double check. And so I pull out my phone real quick. Not real quick. I sneak it out of my pocket. And I'm like logging into the conservation app. I'm like, I better check here. And as soon as I realized that I had one, I was like, I'm shooting one of these. Like it's, you know, 15 minutes ago, I had no intention of shooting a doe.
Yeah.
But if they haven't ruined my hunt yet, which they probably had, like I'm at least going to get something to show for it. So I realized that, kind of put my phone down and get set. And one of the bigger ones blows and the whole group shifts back down the hill even to me. I'm like, now's my chance. And they're looking at me. I'm like, I don't know if this is going to work because I don't know if they're going to let me draw. So I draw really, really slow and get back and just had a window and shot and knew that it went straight through the deer and it took off. But I didn't see it go down. So I was like, hopefully I hit that well like I thought I did. But I had a pretty tight window to shoot in at only one of the deer. So I kind of just took the shot I had and didn't hear that like pop that we've heard in the past. So I wasn't 100% sure about it. Went and grabbed my arrow like 30 minutes later and it didn't look good. It looked like a gut shot. And I was like, what the heck? Like it looked a little far back, but not like it wasn't middle of the body. Like it wasn't, I wouldn't have thought it was a gut shot at all. And so I sat there for like another.
You want to know something real quick?
Yeah.
You probably would have got a double lung if you were shooting Grim Reaper.
I don't know about that. I don't think, I don't know. The hole that the rage put in it was pretty substantial. But anyway, I sat there for another like 2 hours because I still had a buck tag and I wanted to fill that. Well, then all of a sudden here comes some people down on a side by side, literally like 20 yards from me, just staring at me. Obviously I'm in orange and I'm like, well, now this is kind of done. So I'm going to get up and try and find the steer. So had a kind of an encounter with those people. They were nice enough. They weren't super thrilled that I was there, but they were happy to see that I was hunting with a bow and not a rifle down there. And they knew that I was there legally and had every right to be there. So that was good. But I found blood pretty quickly, like close to my arrow and a lot of it. And it was bright red. And I was like, this doesn't really add up. Like this doesn't match my arrow at all. Yeah. And it wasn't like drop here, drop it there. It was like, there is a path of red blood. And so I start track it 40 yards ish and sort of get to a spot where there's a big puddle and it's full of air, like the size of a cow patty. Like that's how big it was. And so I felt like I hit it in the lungs. I'm like, okay, this is a dead deer for sure. I can't see it anywhere, but it's dead.
Yeah.
Well, I'm standing there looking at that and there are two deer that are literally walking to me.
Of course.
Like 15 yards away from me. They're just walking straight to me. I'm like, what is going on? And then I kind of look up the hill and the deer was bedded. And I was like, okay, well, they're still hanging around this doe. And pretty much the whole group was still with the doe. And there was only one bedded that I could see. And I thought it was my doe. And I thought, okay, I would shoot her because it's at this point, it's been like 3 hours and I have no idea how she's still alive based on the shot, but she was uphill and downwind of me, but her back was facing me. So I couldn't tell for sure if that was the one I shot. I was like, I'm not going to shoot another doe just to shoot one. Like I'll shoot this, the one I shot to put it out of its misery, but I have no way to find out if this is the one or not. Well, then she kind of gets up and I can see where I'd shot her. I'm like, how is she still alive? Like I can literally see the hole. I'm only like 20 or 30 yards away. And she walks 10 yards and lays back down. I'm like, crap, this is the worst feeling ever.
Yep.
So I just sat there for like 30 minutes and the group of does kept hanging around. They'd leave and then they would come back and they'd leave and come back. So I knew that the one I'd shot was still there because they were coming back to check on her. And finally I kind of worked around and she'd get up and take two or three steps and get like bed back down. Like she was really hurt, but I was also juggling the fact that there's private 30 more yards up the hill.
Right.
I'm like, I don't want to push her onto that because I don't want to deal with these people. And yeah, I just didn't want to deal with that headache. So finally I get in a better position. I kind of move to where she's not going to be catching my wind and I can see her and she's bedded down and I can tell she's huffing and puffing at this point. I'm like, I can't watch this anymore. Like she's gone through enough. And yeah. So I got within like 10 yards and shot her again and she rolled over and she pretty much instantly died, which it was really hard to do. That's the second time I've had to do that. And it's a hard feeling, but it does feel better knowing that it's done. Like she's not getting any better laying there. So let's go ahead and shoot. And so I at least ended rifle season feeling like, okay, I, you know, took some time off, still got a deer, got the meat.
Yeah.
And, you know, looking back, Ash got her first deer. You shot the biggest one at the farm. Your dad shot one. Got to hunt with my brother-in-law. So it was still a really fun week.
It was a good season.
I guess
good season.
I would do it again for sure. Really, I think the toughest thing about it this year was the weather. And it's easy to blame the weather, but their pattern was just so funky because it was 70 degrees the entire week.
I remember 2 or 3 years ago, it snowed during rifle.
Yeah.
I was hunting deer from the old Taj, I guess is what we'll call it, in the snow. And now it's like, and that's been, it's actually been two or three years that we've had snow.
Yep.
Like, so this year was just a little different. Luckily opening morning was pretty good and opening day was probably the best weather we had.
Yeah, it was.
And then it got worse.
It did.
Because we had the front move in Thursday. Friday was the first day that the front was here. Saturday was the second day. And from what I've seen this year, it's been a lot of like front moves in, they stop moving. And then the next day, there's movement slow. But then the second day after a front, movement really picks up.
Yeah, and kind of going back to what you talked about always learning something.
learning something.
I got here. My manhood back.
Let me put like the bass on your vocals here.
Learning something. Anyway, looking back, especially at the place I shot my doe, that was a good learning opportunity really this entire week because we'd hunted places that we've had success and had early success with our, you know, ourselves, but also with people we took there. And those places just dried up and went away. Like they just dried up, but we know that the deer have to be there somewhere. And sort of toward the end of the week, I'd wish we'd done it sooner, but at the end of the week, we kind of moved and pushed to a different spot. And sure enough, that day, the next day, there were a bunch of deer in there. And it was a good reminder that like, okay, the pattern changes at the farm and we're really conscious of that because we have cameras there. We're out there a lot, but the pattern changes at other places too. So if we're not seeing deer in a spot where we've had really good success a time or two, let's move and try and push somewhere else and never know what might happen, especially in that spot. Cause there's only so many places they can go and hide. And we found all of the deer, like 200 yards from us. I mean, they weren't that much farther, but they just weren't coming into that same area that had been good in September anymore.
Yep. I would agree.
Sweet. Well,
I think that I'm trying to think.
That
was pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. We will share a story for Ash. We'll let her share it in an upcoming episode, but
we'll have kind of a part two to this.
Yeah. She got her first deer, which was really special, really awesome. So excited to get her in studio and share that for you guys.
Yeah. Cause we've been trying for a long time.
We've been trying. I told her, she was asking me like how I felt about it. And of course, it was rewarding for me because that was one of my goals that we talked about mm-hmm. however many months ago for the season was, yeah, I want to take new people hunting, which we've done, and help people get into hunting. But I also really want to help her get her first deer. Mm-hmm. And she actually has put in a lot of work this year. Like, I don't know that she's ever gotten up as early as she has.
Yeah.
And she got up at 4:30 a couple times to go out and hunt. And, you know, we'd go after she'd get off work after a long day and she'd sit out there and she put in some work. And I think she may be better off for it than some of these other people that we've taken just because she saw what really goes into it.
Mm-hmm.
Like Andrew, it was awesome taking my buddy Andrew. He got to shoot a buck his first time hunting, which is awesome. That doesn't happen very often. Like for her, she got to experience going and not seeing anything and shooting and missing. And those are crappy parts about it, but those are what makes it rewarding too.
Yeah. She got to experience kind of the full effect.
Yeah.
And like I was telling you with like Vinny, I'm like, I'm not taking him to the same place now. He's had it easy. Yeah. He's had it easy. Now he gets to experience what it's like to have to work for it.
Yeah.
Which I say that he actually did put in quite a bit of work.
He went a few times, yeah.
He did go one day and not see a thing. So yeah. He put in the work, which that was a rewarding experience for me. So, yeah, we've accomplished a lot of our goals this year with hunting-wise. And, yeah.
Yeah, it's been an awesome season. I won't go into the details on the permit thing that I kind of goofed up on. Basically, I can't shoot a buck unless I do it when my firearms tag is allowed. So I only really have like 10, 15 more days total for the rest of the season that I can shoot a buck, mm-hmm. which definitely stinks. But I feel like I've got to hunt the best time of the year, and I hunted it hard this week.
Yeah.
And we also took a couple trips where we were gone all weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Shot my first buck with my bow. So I'm still going to hunt those 15 days pretty hard because I want to kill another buck. But all in all, I feel like it's been an awesome season. And for you, yeah, you missed weeks here and you're going to miss some going forward. But I mean, what more could you ask for the season? You can only kill two bucks and you killed two nice bucks.
Two nice bucks. I mean, I've had quite a year that I'm excited to for our year end review kind of episode where we just kind of get to look back at the year. Because I've had a good year, you've had a good year, and there's still a lot of hunting to do. Clyde just got his first deer, which is exciting. Yep. And then Brian has two on the ground, I think, two does. And I still think, you know, we're probably through the rut, through the best part of the year, but there are still some really good opportunities to kill some really good deer.
Yeah.
Especially as they move into more of the recovery from the rut and start hitting some food plots again and stuff. I think, especially like Deegan up at the 60, I think he could really find some success with his food plot up there.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And hopefully we'll get a couple snowy days and that'll give us a good reason to go. You and I have both always talked about shooting a deer in the snow. And if it's a doe, that's perfectly fine with me. I'll shoot anything in the snow.
Right.
So that's a good goal for the rest of the year. And, you know, if any of you guys are listening and you're local to the Southwest Missouri region and you haven't been hunting before, you're going to have two guys who love to hunt, who aren't really going to be able to, and love to take people who have a lot of free time here soon. So definitely reach out to us. You know, that's been a fun part of our season too, which we don't have to go into too much, but we both got to experience taking someone and them getting their first deer. It's rewarding in its own way. So we'd love to take you guys if you're itching to get out there. There's still a couple months left.
True. Anything else that we need to add around our campfire maybe? Go hunt.
Yeah.
Get out there. Yeah, get out there, put in the work. Because even like you heard with Cam, put in the work, didn't quite come together for a buck. Still got something to show for it, but when he looks back at this last week with his little rutcation that he took, there are a lot of highs that, you know, there's that one low of not getting a buck.
Yeah.
But if you just recapped, there were a lot of highs. So
yeah, there were. And one thing that Matt, he talked about when we were on our trip is it's a numbers game. Like, that's really what hunting is. You got to put in the time. And of course, there are people out there, like we all know them, who are going to go out on opening morning every year and shoot a big buck because their family has a few hundred acres and that's just how it is.
few hundred cameras.
But, you know, and we all have friends like that. But for most of us, it's a numbers game. It's, you know, got to be in the right place at the right time. And you put in enough sits and enough hunts and enough time, then it'll come together at some point. So
true.
Just can't screw it up when that happens.
Right. Like I almost did.
Yeah, it would not be hard to do. So practice shooting.
Practice shooting. That's good. I need to shoot my bow, by the way. That's a good around your campfire. Don't forget to practice shooting during season. Because I don't think I've shot my bow in probably 3 weeks, which is bad. Anyway, we'll go ahead and wrap this episode up. Stay tuned. We have a lot of really cool things in the works going forward that we're excited to bring you guys, whether that's podcast related or just one related. But hope you guys enjoyed this episode. If you did, leave a rating, a review, wherever you listen to the podcast. That helps our episodes get out there to more people and just helps us to reach more people and share why we love the outdoors, because that's really, when you get down to the bottom of it, why we do what we do. So thank you for all the support, and we will catch you on the next one. Don't forget, all it takes is just one.